The block I live on has been grieving a beloved neighbor. Priscilla Johnson McMillan, who almost made it to 93, spoke in hushed tones but was a powerful voice on local issues like zoning or global like nuclear disarmament. In the late 1950s, she and her husband George had a front row seat on the civil rights movement. Both white, he taught at historically black colleges. She befriended a young John Lewis, threw him his engagement party. Before that, as a young reporter in Moscow, she hung out with Truman Capote. He wrote about their friendship in his book, Muses Are Heard. Born into wealth, Priscilla McMillan lived modestly in Cambridge, Massachusetts. A scholar at Harvard's Davis Center for Russian Studies, she offered free rooms to budding scholars or the guy from the hardware store, or her by-then ex-husband's second wife. After George died, Priscilla brought his widow and young son in and adored them both. Oh, and she also knew well John F. Kennedy, beginning when he was a young senator, and Lee Harvey Oswald, who she met when he tried to defect to the Soviet Union in 1959. She was the only person in the world who knew both.
Here is a special bulletin from Dallas, Texas. Three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade today in downtown Dallas, Texas.
I was in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I heard the news from a friend, and I was just angry at the friend. I don't tell me that, you know, and I couldn't believe it.
Priscilla McMillan reminiscing in 2003. She spent 13 years researching the assassination, living with Oswald's widow, Marina, discovering that he'd once tried to shoot a racist segregationist but missed. So why Kennedy, who was working on civil rights?
He did like Kennedy, but as he saw it, his historic duty was to strike a blow or to bring down American capitalism.
Historians like Tom Powers declared her subsequent book, Marina and Lee, the definitive read on the assassination. Fiction bestseller Joseph Finder wrote a new foreword when it was re-released in 2013.
I write conspiracy thrillers. And while I was reading Priscilla's book, I realized there is no way that you can read this book and still, at the end, think that there was any kind of conspiracy. She has given us a picture of Oswald that is so close up, so fine-grained, that you realize he wouldn't work for anyone. He wouldn't be anyone's cat's paw.
Nevertheless, conspiracy theories sprung up and often included Priscilla.
I was probably about 7 years old, and she came to our house to visit.
That's Holly Catherine Johnson, one of Priscilla's many adoring nieces and nephews.
And she was on the phone. She kept saying, and looking very serious. And then she hung up and she said in her sweet little voice, "Oh, you have no idea how hard it is to get an error out of your FBI file." And I was just totally hooked. I thought she must be the coolest person in the whole world. And I just wanted to be her from then on. You know, decades later, I realized like how hard it is to get an error out of your FBI file and all the repercussions it had on her, both personally and professionally.
Holly is also a professor at Mercer County Community College in New Jersey. She's writing her aunt's biography, including anecdotes about her friendship with JFK.
One of my favorite comments was that he invited her to go with him to the Mediterranean, and she said, "I was about as likely to go as a fly, so instead I was replaced by a model named Pooh." And there's actually pictures of him on this on this boat in the Mediterranean with these women swimming naked around him, which I suppose one of them is the model named Pooh.
Every conversation with Priscilla McMillan holds a new gem. That portrait of her in bubble wrap in the closet was done by a well-known artist. She translated Stalin's daughter's memoirs, 20 Letters to a Friend, a condemnation of communism and Stalin.
It wasn't just she was helping with the translation, but Stalin's daughter wound up living with her and her family on Long Island. In her teenage years, she was on a plane that made an emergency landing that forced her to ride in a cargo hold of a Royal Canadian Air Force bomber. She attended Wendell Willkie's funeral. Khrushchev's son-in-law berated her in a bar in Moscow, and his mistress came to her aid. The number of improbabilities in her life are so numerous, but I think that Steve Aftergood, who's the director of the Government Secrecy Project, described it really well when he said that her home was like a kind of intellectual chemistry experiment. There could be everyone from the guy who mowed the lawn to like an international head of state at the same time. She never thought any voice was irrelevant. She'd throw out a question and let everyone have at it, and it was completely intellectually exhilarating.
So, We wanted to hear again our conversation in that home through a door once always open. Here's our visit from 2003.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
I have some tea on.
We visited Priscilla to talk over tea about her work as a speechwriter for then-Senator John Kennedy in the 50s, about their well-documented dating friendship. He pursued, she declined. And about how, as a reporter in Moscow in 1959, she met a 20-year-old American defector named Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, I'd heard that there was a young defector staying in my hotel and that he wouldn't speak to anybody at the American embassy. A consular officer told me that. But he said to me, well, maybe he'll talk to you because you're a woman. And he said, yes, he'd come up and talk to me that night in my room. He carefully stood in the door of his room so I wouldn't be able to see inside.
Priscilla would come to learn that she and Oswald were both paying only $3 a day for their rooms. He, because he'd attempted suicide and the Soviets didn't know what to do with him. She, because the Russians wanted to recruit her to be a spy. There is a cottage industry in the U.S. of conspiracy theorists who believe Priscilla McMillan was a spy for the U.S., because how else could she have known both Kennedy and Oswald? Were you a spy?
No, I wasn't. But the thing that's so funny is that they think I was a spy for the U.S. Well, the U.S. never asked me. The Russians asked me.
They were trying to lure you in as a spy.
Sure. Yeah. But I wouldn't have spied for anybody.
What was your impression of him?
I thought he was lonely and lost and just very unutterably young.
Did you have any sense of, you know, anything bigger than that, anything grander than that?
At the end of our interview, he said to me, I want to give the people of the United States something to think about. Well, that's a little bit grandiose.
So he makes this closing remark to you, and then 4 years later, your first thought?
I almost knew, but I don't know why. When I heard Lee Harvey, I knew the rest of the name. But I, you know, how many Lee Harveys do you know?
Priscilla says she was in shock, then grief, and then traveled to Texas, where she befriended Marina Oswald and her daughter June, writing one of the definitive books of the genre, Marina and Lee.
I felt guilty because I'd known Kennedy and I'd strung him along all those years, maybe four. And the thing that I remembered best about him was that he was curious about everything, and he was always asking me questions. So, naturally, I thought, he wanted to know why somebody who didn't even know him hated him enough to shoot him. And so that's what I was after. I wanted to find out for him, for his sake, why he was killed.
Are you saying that your intense interest in all the research that you'd done, all the work that you did, the testimony before the Warren Commission, all your sort of immersion in this whole topic, are you saying that it's in large part because of a commitment that you felt to Jack Kennedy?
Yeah, that sounds a little bit grandiose, but I really wanted to explain to him why he died. Yeah. A lot of the time when I saw him, he was in the hospital for ruptured and crippled in New York, and I knew that he had Addison's disease, and I really grieved over it, although I was trying to cheer him up. And so I saw him fighting for his life, and I knew that his life probably wasn't going to be long. That was the state of treatment for Addison's disease. But I did want to explain to him why he died.
Do you ever find yourself struck by he was killed by someone you knew?
Well, I'm struck by how somebody quite small and insignificant was able to cut down somebody who had sacrificed and worked so hard to be president, at the contingency of history, Marxism, which Oswald said he believed in, claimed that the individual didn't matter in history, and yet he proved that the individual does matter. I have wondered how our history would have been different if it weren't for Oswald. Yes, I wish Kennedy had lived out his time, because he surely would have done some good things.
Historian Priscilla McMillan in 2003. She died July 7th, just short of her 93rd birthday, the only person who knew both JFK and his assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. She wrote what historians have called the definitive book on the assassination, Marina and Lee. She was also the definitive neighbor. At her funeral, the Reverend Mark Fitzhugh marveled at her open door, come sit by me policy, her generosity of spirit. If only, he said, Lee Harvey Oswald could have spent more time with Priscilla Johnson McMillan.